So even if corporations stop existing, we would still exist in harmony. So basic living and income as a human right.
Thank you.
And then very quickly, the second idea that was a near tie from the same group was nationalizing energy companies and public utilities, just nationalizing it and taking it away from private hands.
Awesome.
Power to the
people.
We have another group that wants to share some ideas.
Well, I think I think a lot of us are probably all saying the same thing. What we came up with as our final idea was just taking the profit motive out of the public domain. Healthcare. When it comes to healthcare, all of these different things that we need as individuals, the prison system, that is something that society needs. We need a way to deal with people. We need a way to punish we need a way to do that. But it shouldn't be a for-profit industry, because as soon as it becomes that way, it's all about the profits and not about reforming anybody. I think that's basically the gist of what.
And just to follow up on Shirley, and reality is that I'm a social worker for the Office of Mental Health, and things are being privatized more and more and more. And as they're being privatized more and more, the quality of mental health treatment in the whole human services field is going steadily down.
Exactly. We established a public energy utility in Sonoma County based on Marin's over the last 4 years, and Greens were involved in the whole process. It's the reason why I got really involved with Greens when I got back to my hometown. But this is we do that. And we have models. We have models.
Colorado does that too. I think that's one.
Who does? We have one other place. Okay, yeah.
On the prison system, I would actually go beyond that. Because privatizing prisons are a bad thing, but our state prisons are pretty bad themselves. I personally have experience with that because I worked at a prison, as a mental health counselor there. And our mental health system does not work there at all.
Right.
Somewhere from a very advanced prison to have a mental health professional on the
field. Our mental health office had 4 mental health workers, and our caseload was over 500 people. That's a problem right there. We need to, and when we talk about prison reform, we need to invest not in just, putting ways to get people in trouble. We need to invest in mental health. We need to invest in say this. Guess what? This environment you're in sucks, and we're here to help you not just get out, but we're here to help you become a functional person into society. Because the recidivism rate is insane, and just putting people in cages and thinking that's where they belong isn't helping.
Thank you for that.
Okay.
We've got a quick announcement back here. You guys
want
to share?
Yeah, we didn't come up with any solutions. we spent most of our time trying to understand the problem. And that is to say, systems issues and non-reformist reform generally. And so we kind of evolved through a few points. I'm just going to take us through it real quickly. Starting with, and this was my point, any system is more than just an arbitrary abstract structure. It deals with realities that are given. So we have ecological realities that are given that we have to work with. And part of that ecological reality is the human being, because we're part of nature and we have a nature. And if we make a system that contradicts that nature, it's simply not going to work. An example was, if we're all sitting around with a bunch of cookies and he's not looking, I'm going to be tempted to take one of his. That's human nature. At the same time, if I've got a bunch of cookies and he's hungry, I'm going to want to give him one of mine. That's also human nature. And so we have to take that into account in any system that we design. Human beings are part of the equation. We're not going to change human beings by legislation. And then that led to the fact that human nature is subject to manipulation. And especially since Edward Bernays and the birth of what we now call public relations, and over the last century, we're in a very strange situation now where supposedly, theoretically, we all live in a free market system where rational consumers make rational choices, but we have a multi-trillion dollar industry dedicated to getting us to behave irrationally. And so one of the systemic problems that we have is this industry that's designed to make us behave badly, and it succeeds for the most part. And especially in the realm of politics, think of political campaigns are now run by the best advertising companies.
Mm-hmm.
And so how would we don't have an answer, but how would we create a society in which there was no advertising?
I would love that.
I mean, you can't legislate it away.
Woo!
How would we do that? How would we get this disease, right, that is so good at framing the world and making us behave badly by doing so, how would we get this out of our society so that we return to being...
Yeah, yeah.
So again, we didn't come up with a solution, but it certainly seems like a good desiderata. So, and it's a systemic issue. It's a systemic issue, so it requires a systemic solution. Anyway,
that's
awesome.
Thank you.
The first private TV station.
All right. Let's listen to the other groups. Sorry, no, I know we could talk about these things for hours and hours. We could spend, you know, whole days on each group's proposals or questions. If the answers were easy, I would have come in here and presented them to you rather than providing an opportunity for us to work together. Let's hear a couple more groups then.
All right. We actually did start with a couple ideas. Talked about better communication systems, better voting systems to represent us more democratically. But in the end,
no electronic voting machines.
Yeah, or paper that can be thrown away. You know, there's a lot of issues with that. But then, kind of in the end, we kind of came down to something, and it kind of ties with the other gentleman's thing. Is that one thing that we can do that is a reform within a reform, and sometimes even revolutionary, is decrease our independence on, say, a central government. We are so dependent on central food, central energy, that we really need to start bringing things back locally. Yeah. I mean, we say one of the most revolutionary things you can do is grow your own garden, right? So we actually had, we discussed a documentary, how Cuba survived peak oil, how they actually are a great example of how we can basically, without fossil fuels and without any outside input, they were just an island kind of sitting out there alone that learned to basically reform basically in a more socialistic manner based on their need to become independent. And so I think we can use models that already exist to reform ourselves as well. So thank you. That was it.
We discussed a number of things, but something that we touched on pretty heavily was that we need to capitalize public banks in different municipalities and states. There's a public bank in Montana that was the only... That was the only bank that remained in the black when the recession hit. And they've been around for almost 100 years. They fund public works and projects like that at a much lower interest rate. They've centralized wealth within communities, and basically, structurally avert the austerity that we see from these different hedge funds and big banks that are targeting poor and communities that are already not well off in general, thanks to our economy, and are only making things worse. So I think it would be radically democratize the way that we finance, things locally. But yeah, public banking would be an incredible tool to fuck over Wall Street.
We talked about how a lot of the ideas are next but not new. In other words, the models exist. There's mutualized electrical company in Fall River. There are mutualized insurance and cable companies. There are farmers market co-ops, there are food co-ops, and wine co-ops. There's worker-run factories that already exist. So when we talked about how a lot of the models tend to get developed in smaller areas and become models for the big cities down the road, but that it may be hard in New York to necessarily do certain models at a citywide level, but you can do them at a neighborhood level still. So there are opportunities in both environments.
Awesome.
Can I speak first?
Yeah.
Well, I see one thing up here on money and finance. A system of money and finance operated as essential public utility that would benefit society as a whole. Right there, a lot of these issues that people brought up required money. Basic income would require require money. Well, if we do that in the current system, it means we're borrowing it from the private commercial banks. But we don't have to do that because our Constitution says we can create the money debt-free for the people. And that's what the system should be doing. And it has allowed this private banking cartel, this global monetary system, to dominate our money. So when we talk about privatized systems, our money system was our first privatized system. It was privatized by the first Congress, by Alexander Hamilton, who convinced them to do it. And that is the source of all of our problems, because if we had public money, we wouldn't have big media corporations. We wouldn't have big oil corporations, because there's no bank that would lend that kind of money at that risk if they couldn't just create the money.
Great. I got a couple of quick announcements. Are there any other groups that want to share?
I'll share just a brief tie-in to what the gentleman over here had said. He had said that there are already national. You can I sit over here? I'm sorry. I feel like I'm not talking to
you. It's okay. You can spin around while you talk.
The gentleman over here was talking about how there are already small examples of things that have worked. Right? There are small things in different parts of the country, all over the country. What our group had talked about, other than one solution, was how to implement all of these things and actually get them implemented. Was use things that are already out there. Medicaid, right? Use systems that are already out there that are in place that haven't been self-corrected over time. Use those models, use those measures to borrow how those work, and we're able to fight being self-corrected, put those into place with the better ideals that we then choose to do, and then put those in, let them go. And because the system is so used to how that model already works, it's going to run our ideas. It's going to run it through with it without self-correcting it, because they've been running through that model with it. Does that make sense? That makes sense to me? Okay.
Awesome. Thanks. I know Ursula had a quick announcement she wanted to make.
Yeah. Hi, everyone. I'm Ursula Rosen. I'm from New York. I'm a delegate for Jill Stein. I'm also co-chair of the Young Greens Youth Caucus. And I want to encourage everyone tomorrow. First off, that the Young Greens were a co-sponsor of the Economic Democracy Amendment to the Green Party National Platform. And we're going to be voting on the amendments tomorrow. And if the things we're talking about today resonate with you, distributing power in society, ending wealth concentration, power concentration, exploitation, creating a system that works for all of us, I hope that you will vote for the proposed amendments, including the Economic Democracy Amendment, which, if you're not familiar with it, I'll just say rejects both the capitalist system that maintains private ownership about all aspects of production and life, as well as state socialism that assumes control over industries without democratic local decision making. You'll see the text later, but basically the amendment is about decentralizing power in our society, in our country, and for making sure that the Green Party's platform reflects our values of shared power, sharing the wealth in a new system. So that's it. Thank you. Woo! I know, it's funny. Vote.
Okay. So one quick thing here.
I'm Bruce Ingford, the co-chair of the platform committee. You will not be getting copies of the amendments. We've only printed up 50. I wanted every delegate here to get a copy, but I guess they decided there wasn't enough money. So we did get 50 copies that we printed up. Otherwise, you need to go online and look at the draft platform, where the 19 amendments that will be up for a vote as a block tomorrow, with up or down vote, two-thirds majority required, they're online, they're highlighted. You're going to have to talk to your NC delegate. If you haven't seen these already, if your national committee delegates have not told the presidential nominating committee delegates about this, you need to contact your national committee delegate and get the website where you can actually view these things, because they have not printed. As much as I would have liked them to have printed copies for everybody, we've only printed 50 copies.
The internet's pretty good here, so if you want to look it up, borrow a computer or one of those smartphone things. So just a couple last words for me. First of all, thank you so much for coming. It's really exciting to see everybody here and to have gotten to be a part of and hear some of these conversations. Couple of last words. The Next System Project, where I work, is a pretty new thing, and one of the many initiatives that we have going on is we're collecting full-fledged proposals for vastly different political economic systems. There are, I think, 8 out now. We're releasing like 4 every month or two, and we've got a collection of over 30 already. Some of them are pretty out there. Some of them are pretty close to what we have. There's a big range, but I just think it's interesting to see proposed, very detailed proposals for how we could organize a society in a different way. So this is the long address of where they are. You can just go to thenextsystem.org, or you can contact me, and I'll be happy to send those to you. As a friend of mine, a great organizer that I know, always says, if you don't know where you're going, all paths lead you there. So the idea is, if we're not really clear on when we want to be getting way down the line, deciding on what steps we want to take between now and then is a little more difficult. So even though it's kind of hard to think about utopia, it's sometimes good to at least discuss and argue with our friends and comrades. And I think I had another announcement, but I've forgotten it. So thank you so much. Give everybody a round of applause.
Thank you.